you bow your head with me as we go to the Word this morning? Father, I believe that you've been speaking to us through worship. I believe that you spoke to us through some of the Word that was given by testimony. And I now believe, Lord God, that you have something in your Word to touch our hearts, to move us into an attitude of worship, to move us closer in a relationship with you, to help us to understand sometimes why we go through some of the things that we go through. And I'm asking, Lord God, that this morning you would do something fresh and new in each one of us. As we come to worship, as we come to hear your word, right now, would you speak to our hearts? Our hearts are open, our hearts are ready, and we ask that you would accomplish all that you want to accomplish this morning in us. In Jesus' powerful name, amen. This morning, if you take a look at the title of the sermon, it's A Thorn in the Flesh, and you see this, and right away you have some preconceived ideas of what the message is going to be about. But the thorn that I'm talking about is challenges in our lives. Over 50 times in the Bible, thorns have been mentioned, and the most famous portion of Scripture would be the crown of thorns that was put on Jesus's head, and as he went to the cross for us, and we see the pain and the suffering and the torment that he went through to accomplish all that he wanted to accomplish in our lives. We see portions of Scripture talking about tilling the ground and weeds and thistles and thorns that are a part of the sin nature that man has to deal with. Anybody ever dealt with some weeds that you wish were not there? One day they're there and you pull them and the next thing they're back. Anyone here, I know it probably would be only me at times, but anyone here sometimes get on their last nerve because of the challenges that we go through, and you're waiting on God to begin to do something fresh and new, where you feel like heaven is brass, and no matter how many times that you approach God with these things that are going on in your life, there seems to be no answer. Anybody? Anybody besides me? Anybody bold enough to put their hand up and acknowledge that? We've all felt that way. We've all felt that there is times in our lives where we feel like God has not so much abandoned us, he's just tuned us out. And we end up going through some of these things in ourselves. So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 9 in just a moment. But the Apostle Paul dealt with things like this all through his ministry, all through his conversion. How many just are in wonder sometimes where it talks about Paul's conversion, going down the road to Damascus, having this experience that he had with the Lord in such a personal way that the Lord himself said, Paul, why do you persecute me? Why are you coming against me? And Paul has this encounter with Jesus. He has this change. So anyone that says when you come to Christ there shouldn't be a change, I just think of the Acts experience that is talked about with Paul and his road to Damascus. There ought to be a change. When you have an encounter with God, there ought to be a change. When the Lord works in your life, there ought to be some changes. And the problem is we tend to forget what God is doing or has done in our lives. So we see Paul has this encounter. Jesus himself says, Paul, why are you persecuting? Even before he was Paul, he was Saul. And you know, our relationship with the Savior is so intense at times that Paul there was willing to suffer and die, was willing to go the extra mile to see God's plan come to the Jewish nation and to fight against these false prophets and all these people that came against him is to me miraculous, is a God thing. And to see sometimes, maybe it's only me, But when you start to see all of these things going on, and you start to see all the things that God wanted to do in people's lives, and you see how good some of these people are working in ministry, how many at times, I know, just me, but humor me, how many at times just say, you know what, why does something like that happen to so-and-so? Why does something like that have to happen? Because there they've given their whole life to God. There they've given their ministries over to God. They've given their lives over, and we don't know, why, God, would you do this? Why, God, would they have to deal with a thorn like that? Why, God, does it feel like you've come against them? And when we see men and women doing that, we ask the question, why? And sometimes, if we're not careful, we watch men and women of God doing these things, and they seem like their lives blessed, and we think, well, they don't know what I've been through. No, the fact is, we don't know what they've been through. We see them at good times in those moments where God seems to be blessing. And then we have this attitude, well, why doesn't God do this for me? All these miscommunications, all these things that were misfiring on the things that really should be seen. All I can tell you is all that glitters is not gold at times. And the perception that you have of someone, you have no idea what they've been through. I think that would be why Matthew 7 says don't judge. We can't judge because we haven't seen it all. We don't know it all. We don't know what God is trying to do and what he has done in somebody's life. So if you look at 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 12, starting at verse 1, it's Paul's vision and it's Paul's thorn. He begins in verse 1 by saying, I must go on boasting, although there is nothing to be gained. I will go on to visions and revelations from the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And I know that this man, whether in the body or apart from the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things. Things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself except about my weaknesses. Even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassing great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. Can you say amen to that this morning? Don't read through that so fast. Paul is talking in the third person. How many people hate when somebody talks in the third person? Paul is talking in the third person here. I know a man who 14 years ago had this experience. He's talking about himself. 14 years earlier, he had experienced the change in his life like never before. Three recorded people have been to heaven and back. Jesus himself, John, and the Apostle Paul, talking here about an experience of heaven. And if you look at the scriptures here, we know this. The first heaven is the atmosphere in the clouds, those things that you see right around up in the air when you're looking up. And the second heaven would be the stars and the planets and the galaxies, and we know how far that vastness would go. And then scripture tells us there's a third heaven. It's where Christ and God Almighty dwell. And that is where paradise is going to be. And Paul is sharing here, I've been to paradise. I've been to the third heaven. I've been to a place that God himself told me that I cannot tell you any more about it, except that I've been there. And he says this, I don't know if it was a vision. Only God knows. I don't know if it was an out-of-body experience or how that really happened, but God knows. All I know is that the only thing I'm worthy of boasting about is what God is doing and what God has done through me and in me. And he says that I would be a fool to stand up and talk about all my accomplishments. Now, you got to get this, because if you look at Paul, you can see that this itself was a revelation from God. He says that I would be a fool to stand up to give all my accomplishments compared to being shown the things that God has shown me. I've been to paradise, and I've been to heaven, and there's things that I can't tell you. But now, remember, in some of these passages where Paul was kind of blowing his horn a little bit, in Philippians 3:5, he says this: if someone else thinks they have reason to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, I persecuted the church. As for righteousness based on the laws, flawless. But whenever were gains to me, I now consider a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of the resurrection and the participation in his sufferings, becoming like him unto death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. He has this experience like no other person, and you know, here's his words. Now get this, if you're going to get the message this morning, if you're going to read not between the lines, but actually read what God is saying, hear what he's saying here. Therefore, in order to keep me from being conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. God allowed Satan to bring torment to Paul's life. Paul says, there's this thorn. It's in my life. I've asked God three times to take it out. He has chosen not to. All he would tell me is that my grace is sufficient for you. He tells that if you look in the commentaries, your question is, what was Paul's thorn? And so many people in the commentaries have different things, that it was his bad eyesight, it was the false prophets that just tormented him and followed him everywhere that he was going. It was stomach problems where he had such anxiety issues. No one can prove anything of what Paul's thorn was. And I believe it's very clear that the Bible does that on purpose so that we might know that there's thorns in all of our lives. That each one of us have dealings in our lives. We're not told what this thorn is, because I believe that we all have to deal with some of these things, and it goes as far as emotional, spiritual, physical, financial, relational. And then your next question ought to be, what's my thorn? What could be my thorn? And if I had to put a definition on a thorn, it would be anything that nags you, irritates you, frustrates you, and is in your life for a prolonged time. These things that you've been diligently asking God about, and he has chosen not to respond, or he's chosen to not give you the answer that you're satisfied. And then my question would be, what do we do about that? Anybody ever been there? What do you do with that? What do you do with those times when heaven seems brass? My grabbing of this scripture is to make sure you've been praying about it. Because we have a tendency to say, yeah, I've been praying about it, but are you praying? Are you diligently bringing it to the Lord? Are you giving him an opportunity to minister in that area of your life? See, we get so caught up in not wanting others to know what's going on, sometimes we forget to let the Lord know what's going on. He knows what's going on, but we forget to give him those things. Spiritual laziness. Am I talking to anybody? Spiritual laziness is a great way to not see God answer your prayer, because you're not bringing it to him. We've all been there. We all have done that. We've all known where our attitudes have been bad. Why would God allow that? Why would God allow it, whatever it is in your life, to overshadow you, to keep you from having the answer? And if you believe that God cannot be caught by surprise, the only answer you can give to that is that God wants to do something through that. Anybody there? He's got, if you don't believe that God goes, oh no, now what am I going to do? If you don't believe that, then when things like that happen for a prolonged time, God must want something to happen, or for a lesson for you to learn, or a trial that you need to get through, or someone else needs to benefit from your testimony. If we don't believe in luck and chance, then we have to believe that God is going to turn it around and bring honor and glory. If the devil is messing with you, God's in it sometimes. Oh, thank you. I thought for a minute you thought you were above trials and tribulation. I thought that maybe we think sometimes that as we become Christians that we never go through these things. If the devil is messing with you and you know that God has allowed it to happen, there has to be a purpose and there has to be a responsibility that you need to find out why God is doing this. Why is he allowing this to happen? And if you don't believe me, your assignment for next week is to read the book of Job. Anybody understand? I mean, here was a righteous man of God doing everything he knew to do. And he was afflicted that God knew about it. In fact, he knew about it so much that when Satan showed up, he said, hey, have you considered my servant Job? As if, just in case you don't know it, I have a righteous man, Job, that if you're going to do some of these things, he's going to bring me honor and glory. And some of you are going, God, don't do that for me. It's all right. I don't need you to tell Satan that I'm willing. Don't do me any favors, God. Why would God do that? So that you can accomplish in your life what he wants you to accomplish. Whatever is steering you in the wrong direction, he wants you to be redirected. Sometimes he needs to just show you something. Sometimes you're the minister that's going to minister to somebody else because of what you've either been through or what you're going through. That's why when we go through these things, that sometimes we got to give God glory for the testimony that he's brought us out of. We forget about it. But sometimes God brings us through these things so that we could be a blessing to someone else. One commentary actually goes too far to say this: the devil is allowed to deliver the dirty work. The devil is allowed to do the dirty work so that God could minister to us. The dirty hands are used so that God can be glorified through the trials that we're going through. And sometimes I think maybe we're asking the wrong questions. Instead of asking, why me? Why now? Maybe we ought to be asking, why not me? Why not now? Why can't God be glorified? What does God want to show me? In order, the scripture said, I didn't say this, in order so that Paul wouldn't become conceited, the word of God says he was given a thorn. He was given it so that he would be able to not be so conceited, and that he would depend on God more, and that his focus would be on the things of God and not so much his pedigree. Anybody out there? I've been a Christian for 60 years. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Our lives at times gets to be all about ourselves. That's why I'm asking you to pray for people in the bulletin, because we go through the whole week, and at the end of the week, we haven't thought of anything or anybody about ourselves except what we're going through. And we have this terrible feeling that every boo-boo we get, God has to fix. I know it ain't just me. Every time we go through something, we think that if it's a little bit hard, God needs to fix it. And God's saying, I heard your prayers at time. I heard it. I see it. And I know you want yes. But it might be no. And it might be wait. And I want you to know something. God loves you too much to always say yes to you. Because I've heard some of your prayers. And I've shot some prayers out to God that I'm glad that he didn't answer. Because after I said it and I thought I wanted it, it really wasn't what I wanted. And I was glad that he didn't answer it. Verse 9, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you and my power is made perfect in weakness. We got to understand, what is grace? Grace is what Christ did for us. God's riches at Christ's expense. What Christ did for us. And for us, it's God giving you what you didn't deserve. We're all talking about thorns that we've been praying about and wanting God to release. And sometimes when we're looking for yes and he's saying wait. Or he says emphatically no. I'm not even talking about the thorns of the things that we do that self-inflict. I'm not even talking about those. Because God tells us sometimes there's consequences for those. And God can help us out of those things, but sometimes he says there is a consequence. Any amount of grace that God gives us is more than we deserve. Amen? Any amount that God gives us. So who are we to come to God? And the great thing about it is God says, my grace is sufficient for you. Meaning that what I give you will be sufficient for what you need to go through. God loves to use broken people. He's not glad we're broken. But he uses broken people because broken people's hearts are more open. And sometimes that's what he's got to do to get our attentions. The word says, broken hearts, contrite, not concrete hearts. We live in a day and age that instead of a heart that's broken for God and wants more of what God wants to do in our lives, we are seeing more concrete hearts. We are seeing more people turning their backs on God. All the things that is going on with Becky. She's come up with a new phrase in our house, and I began to use it too, and she stole it from John Gray at the Lakewood Church. And the phrase is this: get a fresh praise on. Isn't that good? That's right. Don't give God your old dried up stale. You know, a lot of times we'll go, amen. How about a fresh one? How about an amen that comes from the heart? How about a fresh praise that just says, God, you know what? Thank you for being good to me. Thank you for all that you do and have done in my life. Our prayer should be, God, let me bring you a fresh praise every day, no matter what you're going through. So as we think about these things and we're approaching God about the thorns in our lives, my first thing would be this. Are you really praying about it? You know, not just, oh yeah, I've prayed about it. Have you gotten on your knees before God and given him these things that are going on? And have you got a fresh praise on where you're approaching God with an expectation that God is going to do something? This place ought to be lighting up here. We ought to see God just begin to stir in our hearts that he's trying to do something fresh and new. If you've been praying, do you come with an expectation for God to answer your prayer? And are you okay if he gives you the answer? Yes, no, or maybe, wait. Whatever it is. Have you done an inventory to make sure your heart is right? Have you done an inventory to make sure that what you're going through isn't something that you caused and God's saying, you need to stop this or that? As we close, let me read the last words that Paul's saying here. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. How many want God's power to rest on them? How many want God's anointing to be on their lives when they talk to somebody? How many want to see more, like I talked and shared about the airport experience, where God just shows up and does something? You didn't plan it. You couldn't plan it that good. But God shows up. Paul's prayer was answered. It was just answered this way. Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. You'll get the rest when you need it. But right now, my grace is sufficient for you. Even when they didn't get answers, my power is made perfect in your weakness. In your weakness, my power will shine. In your weakness, we will watch people's lives be changed. In your weakness, I can do amazing things. Now listen, we don't know if Paul could have been bitter for a long time. And he could have been upset what he was going through. And he could have very easily been praying, God, three times I've asked you to take these things. Three times you have pretended like you didn't even know I was doing anything. And he says, my grace is sufficient. Paul says that he's able to handle insults, hardships, persecution, and difficulties when the power of God is resting on him. When he's working in the power of God's strength and in his weakness, God begins to answer prayer. I believe with all my heart that we've been praying for so long for God to move into this next realm. And let me tell you, saints, as we do that, we need to be praying. We need to be watching God go and take us into this new realm and answering prayers. And we need to be praying without ceasing. See, here's the thing. We grab onto these scriptures, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so the Son of God may be glorified by the Father. Is any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. We should be praying. We should be praying without ceasing. But in reality, here's the thing. God does not always answer our prayer with a yes, even if we're coming in the right attitude. God is God. He can answer it the way he wants to. He's a sovereign God. He does what he thinks is best for us and what pleases him. God is not the servant. We are the servant. And instead of approaching God at times like, God, would you? We think that we have this magical formula that if we just say it this way, God has to. He's done all that he has to do for us salvation-wise. Everything else, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough for you. We must embrace God's goodness, God's grace, and his sufficiency. And we are not promised no thorns in our lives. Nowhere in Scripture does he say that. He promises to be with us. He promises to help us through it. He tells us that his grace is sufficient. In my prayer, as we go, I believe, into these new days that we've been praying for, that God would help us with our thorns. Amen? God would reveal why he's allowed these things to happen so that we could do what's needed to move into the next realm. As a church, moving into the next realm. As a community of believers, moving into the next realm. As a family that has been praying for some things going on in people's life, that we would move into the next realm. See, here's the thing we have to be careful of. Be careful that we're not praying to get rid of something God wants in your life until you get the lesson right. Because that's going to take you to the next realm. That's going to take you in a deeper walk with the Lord. Amen? Did I hit everybody? I know the Lord got my toes this week, so I'm praying He got every one of yours. Father, we thank You. Lord God, we realize that at times we are shooting up these shotgun prayers of, Lord, why me? Why now? Why are You doing these things? But Lord God, our prayer should be, why not? If we're to be more Christ-like, if we're wanting to walk closer to You, why wouldn't we have some trials? Why wouldn't we have some persecution? But Lord God, I'm asking that each one of these things that we go through, that Lord God, first of all, if it's a lesson, let us pass the test on the first time so that we don't have to go over and over and over it. If it's something that will bring honor and glory onto You because it's someone that we're going to talk to or minister to, Lord God, help us, show us in our weakness, give us the strength that's needed. In those times, Lord God, give us the words and the anointing. It's the anointing that changes circumstances. It's the obedience that will change our lives. It's working towards a better and stronger relationship with You that we realize, Lord God, there's more of us that You're working on. Help us, Lord God. Each one of us. And may we accomplish all that You want to accomplish in our lives. We're praying for souls. We're praying for lives changed. We're praying for attitude change. Lord God, those thorns in our lives, release them when it's right, when it's Your will, when You want to do something else, Lord God. Give us the patience and the mind of Christ so that we would accomplish all that You want. In Jesus' powerful name, amen.